Welcome to the Young'uns Podcast, back in 2015 for a new weekly series. Coming up this week on the Young'uns Podcast, Sean Cooney has a bit of a thing for the Fisherman's Friends. Meanwhile, I have been spotted holding hands with Sam Pert from the Hut People in an Indian restaurant. What is going on? Find out. The Young'uns very nearly ruin a wedding. We've got clips from our set at the main stage of Cambridge Folk Festival, and we win over the people of Poland with the power of one simple yet effective word. Although we do manage to rankle one particular Polish lady, who's got a bit of a bone to pick with Sean Cooney about Sean's aquatic assertions. It's the return of the folked-up folk song. Can you identify the folk song from the food-based lyrical clues? And music comes from the Young'uns. I know, how did we get the rights? All that and more coming up on this week's Young'uns Podcast, entitled Let Me Call You Sweetheart. Now, there may be people with their heads in their hands now, starting to despair, other people hoping and praying that when I said all that and more, the more contingent consists of one particular feature. Well, of course it does. I mean, we're going to say we'd have protests on the streets if we neglected to do it, wouldn't we? It's the return of James Fagan's Talking Bollocks. Yes! It's the feature that other folk podcasts and publications and radio shows would kill for. And I really do mean that. In fact, Michael Hughes' rabbit was murdered, we believe, on the behest of Mike Harding's podcast. So, yes, there is a lot of jealousy among other folk broadcasters, but we have this feature exclusive on the Young'uns Podcast, where qualified medical Joctor? He's a doctor who tells jokes. The qualified medical doctor and award-winning renowned folk performer James Fagan is back to talk testicles. And this week, he gives us a guided tour of the undercarriage of the male kangaroo. Ah, yes, James Fagan's Talking Bollocks is back. All is right with the world. And we'll dedicate this week's Young'uns Podcast to the lady at the Royal Traditions Folk Club, which is run by John Borden and Faye Heald in Sheffield, who won the raffle. And when she won the raffle, this particular lady, this was her reaction to winning.
289!
Now, you might be mistaken, given that reaction, that the prize was something extraordinary, like a house, or a car, or a night of passion with Sean Cooney, but it was, in fact, a box of chocolates. My goodness, it's not even as if it was a trout. A trout, David? Why are you saying that? Why would you... Well, if you're not aware of why I'm saying that, then you obviously haven't been listening to previous Young'uns Podcasts, and you won't be aware of that hilarious in-joke now. And there'll be other people who are aware of it will be laughing out loud, rolling along the floor in fits of laughter. But, you know, you can't expect us to go back and explain all of the in-jokes. I do apologise. Although, if you want to listen back to the 12 podcasts of Christmas, the answer will be housed in there. So, yeah, we did the 12 podcasts of Christmas, obviously, over the Christmas period, but the last time we did a proper Young'uns Podcast was July. A lot has happened since then. We did Glastonbury Festival with Billy Bragg. We played main stage at Cambridge. We've got a clip from that coming soon. We've been to Poland. We've got a clip from that as well. We'll talk about our Polish exploits a little bit later. We also went on the BBC Radio 2 Folk Show with Mark Radcliffe. We did a session there. That went down well, I think. Mr. Cooney spent a lot of the time just cheering at everything Mark said.
Hi, welcome back to the Radio 2 Folk Show, and welcome to the Young'uns.
Hey.
How are you guys? Hello. David, Michael and Sean. Phil Walsh has been on, said looking forward to the Young'uns tonight. Weird they were playing my uncle's 60th last month.
Hey.
Neil Dooley said, listening to the Young'uns in red car in view of the tease and the blast furnace.
Hey.
And these go right through to the 7th of December in Skeggy at the Great British Folk Festival. I'm only 11 months old, but I've seen the Young'uns 3 times already. First time I was only 6 days old. They're my favourite band. Love from Baby Elsie and Otley.
I don't know why, but even when Sean's mic is turned off, you can still hear him cheering in the background.
I'm only 11 months old, but I've seen the Young'uns 3 times already. First time I was only 6 days old. They're my favourite band. Love from Baby Elsie and Otley. Netley.
Anyway, also on that show, we were asked by Mark whether the three of us were all mates before we started singing folk songs together. The answer to that question is yes. Sean and I both said yes, but then Michael interrupted by saying no, and then spent the next 20 seconds explaining why the answer to that question was yes.
Were you three mates, though? You were out for a drink and happened upon
this?
No,
well, I've known... Yeah. I went to school with Sean, primary and secondary.
Yeah.
And then when we were 16, 17, we met Dave through a friend. And then...
We kind of got into it.
But you were mates before you were singing together.
Yeah, definitely, yes.
Yes, definitely, yes. So there you go. So I'm sure we made a very good impression on Mark Radcliffe there. Although we have actually been asked to work with him on another project coming in the future, the near future, which we'll talk about soon when we're allowed to. I'm not sure if we're allowed really to divulge that yet, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on the Young'uns podcast in a few weeks or so. But it's quite exciting news. In fact, if we were to measure the excitement of that news on the Sean Cooney way scale, I think it would be higher than a
way.
In fact, I would go so far as to say it would be higher than a I would probably say it's more of a
last month.
I'd probably say it's there on the Sean Cooney excitement scale. Also an exciting news, Mark Radcliffe announced on the BBC Radio 2 Folk Show last week that the Young'uns have been nominated in the Best Group category for this year's Folk Awards. Now as far as exciting news goes, I think that completely surpasses the Sean Cooney excitement scale, and we'd have to use the Royal Traditions raffle winning scale, I think. I think it's safe to say that us being nominated for a BBC Radio 2 Folk Award is probably comparable to someone winning a box of chocolates at the Royal Traditions Folk Club raffle. Anyway, it's time for our first gig clip now, and we're going to head to Whitby Folk Festival.
If anyone was in the Curry House, by the way, last night, Passage to India, they may have seen me...
Well, they commissioned it,
they may have seen me holding hands with Sam Pert from the Hutt People. Now, I would like to explain why this... Well, Sam Pert is an excellent accordion player, and I'm a novice in comparison to him. I know you may... No, you're not, David, you're all thinking, but I am. And... So, anyway, the reason I was holding him, because he was teaching me some accordion sort of moves, things to do with the accordion, but we didn't actually have an accordion there, so I was using his hands. I won't tell you what I was squeezing, but... very good, by you. We don't need it. But anyway, yeah, it was a very interesting accordion work, so we didn't have an accordion, and we'd each had 10 pints of Cobra, so I'm not sure how well the accordion playing will go tonight, but anyway...
We'll be back to Whitby Folk Festival very soon, where we'll be treating the audience to a live rehearsal. But first, it's time to provide you with the clue for this week's Folked Up Folk Song. So, can you identify the folk song from the food-based lyrical clues? That is what we ask you. We've done this in previous weeks. In the past, we've given you the following example. So if I was to go, sandwich gourmet feta coleslaw, ribeye place, pear pavlova, door, feta, coleslaw. That would be the Wild Rover. Sandwich, gourmet feta, coleslaw, ribeye, place, per pavlova, door, feta, coleslaw. The Wild Rover, okay? Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Easy to follow. So this is a quiz that we did at our singing weekend in 2013 at Kendal, where we had a group of people who spent a weekend with us and we sang songs and did all sorts of activities, and including this quiz. So let's head there now for this week's Folked Up Folk Song.
Halal, door. Jelly, crumble, door. Pea, stir up. Scone, beef, hors d'oeuvre, mayo. Chew Welks, ham, dinner, supper. Chew Welks, ham, ling, souffle, door. The supper is a pudding, thin ham, vimp door, scone, and cake door. Halal, door. Jelly, crumble, door. Pea, stir up. Scone, beef, hors d'oeuvre, mayo. Chew Welks, ham, dinner, supper. Chew Welks, ham, ling, souffle, door. The supper is a pudding. Thin ham, vimp door, scone, and cake door.
So can you identify what that folk song is from those food-based lyrical clues? We'll recap that clue again a little bit later on in the podcast, and then we'll reveal the answer at the end.
Thank you.
Oh, is there any chance of turning the monitors down? It sounds like we've got the fisherman's friends in them. That wasn't a dig at the fisherman's friends. We love the fisherman's friends. I could do with a few now, to be honest.
My goodness, steady on, Mr. Curry. What are we doing there? That's our video coming out. It's a Christmas X-rated video. Anyway. Isn't it for charity, in fact?
I meant the lozenge.
That's his nickname for one of them, but we won't tell you which one.
I love one of those big moustaches, though.
What are we doing? We're in Benny Hill where we're going now.
Ah, very poignant lyrics, absolutely incredible writing. Yes, this is the part of the podcast where we delve into the minds of the young'uns and bring to the surface our nocturnal noggin narratives. On previous young'uns podcasts, we've focused on the dreams of myself and Sean Cooney. Michael is yet to relate a dream to us. I don't know whether that's because there's literally nothing going on up there, which we frequently suspect, or maybe they're just too filthy to impart. This week it's back to me, and I'll be recounting my dream that I had the night before our performance on the main stage at Cambridge Folk Festival, which involves the aforementioned Mr. Mark Radcliffe, and we join the young'uns on the main stage right now at Cambridge Folk Festival, where I recount my dream to the audience. And we were first on the main stage on the Sunday morning at about 11:30, and it's tradition at Cambridge for the Archers to be played on the main stage, the Archers Omnibus, which goes out on Radio 4 between 10:00 and 11:15. So they play the Archers on the main stage, and then people sit around and they have their breakfasts or whatever while they listen to the strains of everyday country folk. By which I mean they listen to the Archers Omnibus. I'm not suggesting that they're listening to farmers struggling with constipation. No, that happens on stage two. So, yeah, so it was the Archers, and then it was us. So let's head to the main stage of Cambridge Folk Festival on the Sunday morning where I recount my dream.
What an honour it is to be the official headliners for the Archers. That's more exciting than actually saying we're loosely supporting Van Morrison.
Well, it's a treat to be here, but we're a bit embarrassed, to be honest, because it's our first time on stage one, and they're looking after us so well backstage, and they're asking us all kinds of questions, like, do you want towels? And we're thinking, what for? And then they said, do you want some water? And we said, oh, yes, please. And then they said, well, do you want it ice cold, lukewarm, or room temperature?
So we're not used to this at all, are we?
But it's a real treat.
But the great thing is we're sharing a dressing room with Van Morrison.
We're not literally sharing, he's not there at the moment. So. Yeah, it was great. We had a great night last night in bed with him, didn't we?
I have a chance of being on Radio 2, Glenn.
Well, that is quite harrowing, actually, because this is actually being recorded for Radio 2. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to get on Radio 2 or anything. But I had a dream that we did get played on Radio 2, but for all the wrong reasons. Because Mark Radcliffe said that we wouldn't normally play these lads, but they turned up on the main stage and they made an absolute hash of it. So what we're going to do throughout the show is we're going to play some of their mistakes. He's another hilarious thing for the news. So, let me have it out.
Give the people what they want.
But if we're up to our thing, 32 minutes into the set, they might want to go live because I'm going to do a flailing kazoo solo, but it's not going to miss.
Oh dear. We promised everybody who came to see us in the club tent last night.
Hang on, I'm not doing this gig. This is not room temperature, it's water. Can we have a room temperature, please?
We promised everyone who came to see us in the club tent last night
never to be seen at Cambridge ever again. Now we'll have you replaced next time, don't worry, Michael.
Back to Whitby Folk Festival we head now, where the young'uns are in a little bit of a quandary.
We're very excited but also extremely nervous because our next
engagement is tomorrow in Stornthwaite in Burrydale in the Lakes. We're doing a wedding.
It's me and Sam Pert, we move quickly.
No, it's
we're going on that. We're going to go on our honeymoon afterwards. As in the whole thing.
Very good. There's just a little note there. No, it's actually a great mate of ours, Phil Simpson, who's also our agent. He's getting married in Burrydale tomorrow. But it's going to be a bit awkward because we don't know if he's taking a percentage of the fee or not.
I think the deal is we get 15% of the bride.
Oh, they didn't like that one, Davey. Yeah, we're only joking. He's, you're joking, but they might think I wasn't joking about the percentages. But while the bride, Jess, is walking down the aisle, they've asked us to sing this little song. Now, it's only four lines long.
I know. We've managed to learn 17 verse ballads in 15 minutes, miraculously. But four lines has taken us 2.5 hours, and we still haven't managed to get it right. Oh.
So you don't mind if we just have a little rehearsal?
You probably know it's that everyone's done it. A Bing Crosby sang it. It's that "Let Me Call You Sweetheart." You know that?
Well, if they do it, perhaps they can all come to the wedding as well. We're going to sing it for us. Yeah. So here we go then. We'll give it a go. It's not going to work.
Here we go.
Good luck, boys.
Let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love with.
For you, Michael.
Okay, let's try that again.
You was a D major. Okay. Come on,
for the audience. I know you're all thinking that, obviously. Yeah, yeah.
Ian, please sing it with us.
Ian, could you come to the wedding and also tune Mike's vocal? You're the best family in the world.
Right, here we go.
Oh, the Wilsons are going to do this one.
I'll try this again.
It's supposed to be the happiest day of his life.
This is our agent, remember, so...
You know.
Right, we'll do it one more time. If it doesn't work, we'll move on and do something else. We'll do it at the wedding as well. We just didn't do the shanty. He's just talking about whale telling for you. Sorry, we can't.
Here we go.
That's time. Okay.
Let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love with. Let me hear you whisper that you love me too.
That's a second line.
Keep the love like glowing.
I just say what we're imagining the situation tomorrow is when we stood at the front of the church. The bells are going to ring in the church and Jess is going to start walking up. We're going to mess it up. We're then going to laugh our heads off, tell her to go up to the back again.
Anyone
know where we're going with this?
Hey, but in fairness, look, if we get this on you being friends, it'll pay for their honeymoon.
Right, one more time and then we'll crack on with something else. Right.
Let me call you sweetheart, I'm in love with. Let me hear you whisper that you love me.
Who'll be the lady? Who will be the lady?
Oh dear. Let's see. In 24 hours, we were meant to be performing that at our agent's wedding. So find out how we fare at the wedding a little bit later on. We'll play the actual clip of us singing that song at the wedding. So in October, we went to Poland, and here's some chat about our Polish exploits from a gig that we did in London last year.
We achieved a sort of long-term ambition a couple of weeks ago when we performed at a Polish sea shanty festival. Now,
I mean, we know you've all wanted to do that as well, haven't we?
I mean, no one really believes us when we've been raving for years about how good Polish sea shanty music is, because Poland doesn't really have much of a sea, really, does
it? Yes, it does.
I was getting back.
Would you like a microphone? You can do a little talk on the Sea of Poland if you like.
I know.
Next week.
No, I was getting to that. I mean, Gdansk and fantastic ports, so that he does have a rich
backtracking now, isn't he?
Should we sing another song?
You can say what you like, but don't insult the Polish sea, mate.
Well,
He's a bit sunk, no?
I've been telling him for years, he's playing my death. Dice in my death.
More scared than stumped. But, well, I'll sing this one just for you. And it's because we went to Poland and we did a great festival in Gliwice. Do you know it?
Yes.
How you doing?
Why have you got your head in your hands?
Because I know it.
Oh, you know it. And,
is it on the coast?
No.
No, it's not.
Yes, there is no coast.
Yes, there is.
Remove this woman.
The Onions in a controversial move.
Anyway, so we're going to sing a shanty.
Please tell us no one's videoing this for YouTube. Like, it's at the end of our careers.
Some friends of ours who came over, you might have seen them on tour in England this year, called Brassy, fantastic Polish shanty group. And they took us to Krakow and they told us of this wonderful Polish drinking tradition, which they might have made up just to wind us up, really, because they said they got us all a nice shot of vodka. And they said, in Krakow, what we do to take the taste of the vodka away, we have raw herring. It's true, they weren't, but yeah, yes. It was very nice, but then we said, well, what do you do to take the taste of the raw herring away? They said, we have another vodka.
Absolutely.
We also learned a Polish song as well.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes, if you understand it. Bodę karę są gotowe i może to drogi nie ciepię na wieczy czy na pewno na nie wchodzi. I understand all of it apart from hate. What's your name?
I think we've come towards the end of the evening, but we'd like to say
no.
Thank you.
Hey, don't be nice to us now.
Yeah.
No, we haven't.
You've come down from that high horse now, have you? I don't know why we're insulting the audience so much.
As Sean said in the clip at the start, sea shanties are really popular in Poland. There's a really big sea shanty movement, and it's got a really young fan base too. We've been told that it's the Polish shanty movement is tied up with the communist era in Poland, when one of the only times you could be given dispensation to leave the country was if you were taking part in a sailing competition. So a lot of people would take part in sailing competitions, and then they'd meet up with other sailors from different countries, and they would hear the different sea shanties and share songs and that kind of thing. And so to a lot of people in Poland, the sea shanties aren't necessarily working songs, they're more songs of liberty, songs of celebration. So they sing them with real flair and enthusiasm, and they really embellish them. And we were so inspired by the way that we heard the Polish shanty singers sing that we started implementing little sort of tricks that they do themselves when they sing the shanties. And you can hear that in our version of Yellow Girl. And this is taken from some gig or other. I really should index these things better, so my indexing is a bit lacklustre. We need a secretary on the Young'uns podcast. So this is us singing Yellow Girls at some gig or other live.
Round the bed, boys, I wasn't that sure.
Hey!
Round me and the girls, still let me. job, come on, because she's a place you all should go. Rami and the girls, still let me go. Still let me go, me girls, still let me go.
The Youngins, inspired by the Polish sea shanty singers that we've heard on our travels. And we were in Poland in October. And obviously there was a bit of a language barrier when we were doing our gig. So it was a little bit harder to communicate than it would be in England. Still better than Inverness, though. But all we had to do, we found, was say something in Polish. Every time we attempted to say something in Polish, even if it was just one word, they would rapturously applaud. Even if we just sang a song, people applauded. After the applause, we then said thank you in Polish, dziękuję, and then everyone would start applauding again. We ended up spending the entire gig more or less just doing that. They were very easily pleased, if only it was that simple in England.
Dziękuję.
It's brilliant doing gigs in Poland because all you have to do is say thank you and you applaud us. Very good. They're a lot more hard to please in England, unfortunately.
Fire away.
Oh, dziękuję.
We're just going to do this for the next 20 minutes. We've run out of songs. We're just going to say thank you in Poland.
So thank you, Poland, for your hospitality, and hopefully we'll be back there soon. We'll speak to James Fagan. My goodness. It's all just padding, this, isn't it? All just padding to the main event. But first, let's briefly recall this week's Forked Up Folk Song. What is the folk song? Can you identify the folk song from the food-based lyrical clues?
Halal, door. Jelly, crumble, door. Pea stir up, scone, beef, hors d'oeuvre, mayo. Chew whelks, ham, dinner, supper. Chew whelks, ham, ling, souffle, dough. The supper is a pudding, thin ham, vib dough, scone, and cake dough. Halal dough, jelly, crumble, dough. Pea stir up, scone, beef, hors d'oeuvre, mayo. Chew whelks, ham, dinner, supper. Chew whelks, ham, ling, souffle, dough. The supper is a pudding. Thin ham, vimp dough, scone and cake dough.
Okay, and now the moment you've all been waiting for. It's time to once again join Mr. James Fagan, the qualified medical doctor, the award-winning, renowned folk performer James Fagan, as it's time to discuss the testicles in James Fagan's Talking Bollocks, our first James Fagan's Talking Bollocks of the year. What kind of a year has it been so far, Mr. Fagan?
I've been out to Australia since we last spoke.
Ah, yes, yes.
I managed to convince my family that the main reason I was going was to see them. But of course, I was actually going as the representative of your program to
of
do
course.
Some research.
Some research
on
down under, of course.
Down under, yeah. Down under, exactly. You beat me to it. But that
oh,
is,
sorry. Oh, James. Hey, you should have sent me the script through. I didn't realise. But it's not a competition, is it, James? We work well together.
Not at all. We think alike when it comes to these things.
So, yeah, you texted me about 10 minutes ago or something, and you basically said, call me now. I have a testicle fact.
There's an urgency about this for me.
I just thought it was quite funny that, you know, you obviously know me so well that you knew that it doesn't matter what I'm doing, that I would drop everything to call you to talk about testicles. I don't know if that's what it says about me or what that says about you, but I have called. I'm at your beck and call any time of the day. But you also said that you don't know how long you can dispense with testicle facts for. Now, this comes as a bit of a shock, James. I thought you'd be able to go... I thought we'd be, you know, this would be like, you know, Desert Island Discs. It would be like a big mainstay in the podcasting world.
Well, but, okay, let me be absolutely honest. I guess what I want is the surprise factor to always remain. So I'm just sort of hinting at the fact that maybe this isn't an endless resource, and then I'll just keep coming up with the bollocks each
tell you
time
what we should,
you call me.
Should,
probably
yeah, maybe
thing.
What we should do then is we should do it like that. We should not think of this as a weekly feature, because the podcast is going to go weekly, and I wouldn't want you to do that, James. Maybe what we should do is, every single time you feel compelled to dispense the testicle fact, you should just text me, and I will just call you. So sometimes we may not hear from you for a few months, other times we may hear from you, you know, every bloody minute.
I like
minute.
Your approach. My only comment on the approach now is that rather than feeling like a consultant, I feel more like that I'm the beneficiary of a sort of a self-help group for people with a compulsion to talk about the testicles.
Whenever you need us, James, to talk about testicles too, we're here for you, James. Let's face it.
I think I prefer my consultancy role, to be honest.
All right, okay, well...
And as such, I've been down under, down under, to find out some of the myths, you could call me the ball buster, not the myth buster,
yes.
But I now am in the business of finding out some of the common myths about the testicle and busting them wide open.
You're going to bust open the testicles, my goodness, James. Well, wear safety goggles, please.
There will be anatomical language used in the next couple of minutes.
Okay.
And that those people who are of a slightly sensitive disposition when it comes to animals and their welfare...
Back to animals.
...could possibly rethink the next 2 minutes of the Young'uns podcast. I've never issued a caveat or a warning before, but
no.
I just feel I should.
It's interesting, James, because last time you gave us an animal testicle fact, and you're doing the same this time, are you? right, okay.
No, let's say that today's feature concentrates on the kangaroo. Now, the kangaroo, obviously an Australian iconic animal. I'll let you and the listeners in on a couple of salient facts about the down under of the down under's most favourite animal. Okay, first of all, if you imagine Homo sapien, the way that a Homo sapien is put together... This is where it gets anatomical, folks. Just, let's just press on together. I am a doctor, and I am authorized legally and ethically to use this kind of language, okay?
Right, so okay. That's good. Good to know.
That's good to know, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, oh,
you're
yes,
in safe,
definitely.
You're
I mean, our legal
hands.
Departments have been asking questions, but it's good that you,
right.
You clarified that.
If you imagine a Homo sapien, the arrangement, shall we say, of the lunchbox,
yeah.
It's no news to anybody, really, that the testicles, behind the male member. That is, behind the male member. The same on a dog, right?
Okay.
The same on a horse.
If you don't believe us, ladies and gentlemen, we'll put diagrams on the website so people can follow along at home.
Good, please do. But the testicles of a kangaroo are in front of its male part, shall we say. Don't ask me why. It's just odd. Say you were looking at a kangaroo's part or member. You would then be horrified when the testicles descended from in front, not behind, in front of the member. I'll just let you listeners think on that for a minute.
I mean, I don't know how long you want the listeners to absorb that information, but if listeners feel the need longer, feel free to pause.
Let's not pause. I mean, I'm
don't
actually
pause,
about
listener.
To regale you with such a number of facts that I'd be happy for you to split this testicular-related podcast into two if you saw fit.
Okay, I'm going to split the testicles into two then. Right, okay.
Right.
If we're going to do that, we should probably pretend that it's not split into two. I mean, we've already told the listeners that it is, but they'll forget by next week. So thank you very much, James. What a lot of bollocks. James will be back next week talking about... Will it be more kangaroo testicle facts, James, next week?
I have plenty at my disposal.
So it's kangaroo testicle facts next week, ladies and gentlemen. My goodness, it's certainly gone into a niche area. So, last year, we were involved in a collaborative project commemorating the centenary of the start of World War I. in a project called Songs for the Voiceless, where we performed alongside Bella Hardy, Jackie Oates, Katrina Gilmore, Jamie Roberts, loads of other brilliant people. And so here's a little clip where we're discussing our Songs for the Voiceless experience.
The project I mentioned in the first half, Songs for the Voiceless, it was a great thing to be involved with. Just going away on tour with other people was an eye-opener.
It was good to work with someone talented for once.
One of the things that sort of made us think a bit was, because usually we turn up to a concert and, you know, we give it our all, but we don't really pay any attention to what we're wearing. We just kind of rack up in there. And call it.
It's not bad.
But
I can't believe that.
I've got this off just Lord.
It's not bright.
Everybody on the tour, sort of.
He's a folk singer. He only has three pairs of clothes. We're going to see.
But everybody else on the tour would kind of turn up at the gig with like enormous suitcases full of like, and get changed into a complete kind of stage outfit. So that like really like threw. So we were like spending all day like getting cleaning shirts and ironing them. Who were Davey? We were away for a week. He only had one shirt. He wore it every night. The other thing that we couldn't get away with, and it was taking a bow at the end. Now we've never bowed before, and it's not because we're arrogant. It's just because we don't know how. But every night we went down the line, and it was so funny.
It's because you don't like it, do you?
Well, I don't know what to do. It's just like a stupid thing, and then you bob your head.
Well,
wasn't a head of butter, I don't think. That was the worst thing.
But it's very nearly time for us to bow out for this week. But before we do, let's reveal the answer to this week's Forked Up Folk Song.
Halal Door, Jelly Crumble Door, Peaster Rub, Scumby Forford, Hors d'oeuvre Meal, Chew Welks Ham Dinner Supper, Chew Welks Ham Link Soufflé Door, The Supper is a Pudding, Thin Ham Vint Door, Scum and Cake Door. What did people say for that?
We got a name.
Halal Door, Jelly Crumble Door, Peaster Rub, Scone before the mayo, Chew Welks Ham Dinner Supper, Chew Welks Ham Link Soufflé Door. The supper is a pudding, Thin Ham Vint Door, Scone and Cake
Hal and so, jolly rumble up. We were up long before the day of to welcome in the summer, to welcome
Hal and Tor. Sang here, of course, by the Watersons. Hal and Tor, Jolly Rumble O, we were up long before the day O, to welcome in the summer, to welcome in the May O. The summer is a coming in and winter's gone away O. Or Vimped O, Scone and Caked O, if you prefer. Which some people might. So I think many people would prefer that. Some people have suggested that we do an album of these songs with our food-based lyrics. Who knows? Maybe 2016's Folk Award-winning album, perhaps. Well, we've got lots of exciting things to cover over the next year on the Young'uns podcast. We're going to be in Kansas next week. So hopefully we'll be able to bring you a Young'uns podcast next week. I did say a weekly series. I am planning on releasing a podcast next week, but I'm hoping that my girlfriend Isabel will be on hand to press the appropriate buttons. I think it'll be one of the biggest tests of our relationship so far. But we're going to end this week's Young'uns podcast with us singing Let Me Call You Sweetheart live at our agent's wedding. You know, it sounded pretty bad on stage less than 24 hours earlier at Whitby, which you weren't making up, by the way. Definitely that's how it was sounding back then, but I think you'll agree that we sort of managed to get it sounding pretty good at the actual wedding. So we'll play out with that. Thank you very much for listening. From me, David Eagle, from Michael Hughes and Sean Cooney.
Hey.
Thank you, Sean. Goodbye.
Let me call you sweetheart, I'm in love with you. Let me hear you whisper that you love me too. Keep the love light glowing in your eyes so true. Let me call you sweetheart, I'm in love with you. Let me call
me hear you whisper that you love me too. Keep the love like glory in your eyes so true. Let me call you sweetheart. I may